they were FBI guys in the lobby who were directing us to just go this way. My first recollection is, why aren't they getting us out of the building right away? Why aren't we just going out to West Street? They made us go through, and again, at this point, we don't know. Or why didn't they let us go out to Vesey Street? I mean, quickly, they made us go through the revolving doors. Again, there was nothing in the plaza, and nobody in the plaza. It was maybe two or three people, and then separated by FBI guys, maybe every 50 feet, 100 feet or so. Again, I said, why aren't we just going out this building? You know, come this way, come this way. So we went across the entire length of the lobby, which was normally populated with, you know, the Gap and, you know, different clothing stores, which I didn't, there was darkness, so I couldn't even tell where they were. Basically followed the path I'd taken every morning, went right through the length of the plaza level. Saw the Torno Corner jewelry store, faced the Warner Brothers store that you had mentioned here before, made a left, and there was an escalator that wasn't working that took me up to right where the Borders bookstore was on the corner of Church Street. Again, FBI agents all the way, and once we got out there, it was a big crowd of people and a gauntlet that we had to run through, and the FBI people, I remember saying, get as far away from this building and as fast as you can. Do not look back. Now, again, if you remember, the morning was unbelievably beautiful. So I'm with my buddy Barry, who I was originally with when it first happened. We just happened to be there. I crossed over Church Street where the cemetery, the corner where the cemetery, where the Millennium Hotel on one side and the cemetery on the other, and Barry and I looked up and saw for the first time what looked like, I could describe it as like the set of a Bruce Willis movie, where there was a beautiful glimmering World Trade Center tower, and attached to it is somebody painted on an orange fireball, basically of a color of orange that, you know, it's just, you don't see that often. And again, against a cloudless blue sky, it was just a spectacular sight to behold. We raced up, we're all in that now, there's like 8 to 10 of us, half of us have we've missed the other 10 people. We get up in front of, kind of scurry up, I forget, is it Trinity Street? I'm not sure what the name of the street is. I guess it's Fulton is right there. Right to the corner of Broadway, Fulton, right in front of 222 Broadway. We make the turn in front of 222 Broadway when we hear what sounds like Niagara Falls, because I've been in Niagara Falls, turn around and see the second tower just basically tilt over. It tilts over to the east side. It looks like it's about to create what I look like to me a domino effect. It will crash over and crash into the Millennium Hotel and then crash into me. Thankfully for us who are in the sight line of this thing, it basically tipped over and then imploded on itself. But at that moment, it became every man for himself. It was escape from Manhattan, get as far away from what would turn out to be this 10, 20 stories cloud of dust that was making its way up Broadway. I remember I held on to one of the girls that worked, works for us, again, a girl named Marge Mayer, who was wearing stiletto heels, and I was gripping her hand very hard, and we were trying to help each other, support each other, getting through the streets. We ran as fast as we can from 222 up to Foley Square, trying to figure out where we were going. You know, we got up, three or four of us are together. So should we go across the Brooklyn Bridge? I mean, there's mass panic, people running in every different direction, just the streets are mayhem right down the middle of the streets. And I'm trying to, encouraging her, can you take your shoes off? Because we can't, you know, I'm dragging her instead of we're running. We get just slightly north of the Foley Square area. We seem to be away from where the cloud is coming, but there's still, you know, chaos. We get up to about Lafayette Street, I'm trying to think where, and we end up going to an internet cafe. But four or five of us go into an internet cafe and we buy some time at this cafe. And again, you know, everybody's leaving work, everybody's leaving their offices, the day ended for everybody, obviously. So we're in there, we have a London office, we contact our London office by email. We tell who's in the room. We we're okay. Can you please contact our homes? Whatever. I don't know. Did anybody call you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, long after I'd gotten an email from you.
We tried to collect ourselves. So a bunch of people were going over to another firm's office to see if we're going to work. I mean, again, people to work out of that office for the rest of the day is like, okay, we're going to continue the job here without really getting a sense. And at this point, I really don't know what's going on. I mean, I know the building collapsed and have no idea really why it collapsed or how it collapsed. And people are screaming in the streets. You know, the Capitol's been hit. One of the girls with us has an apartment on 22nd in Lexington. So we said, let's just gather there. So we went to her apartment. Again, walking through, the most vivid sense is the expression on people's faces who are walking downtown and looking at this thing or had seen it on TV. It's just an amazing, like, just shock and, you know, strange, very strange. There was almost no vehicular traffic other than some ambulances. I remember one of these, Orthodox Jewish group that runs ambulance services in Manhattan. I remember there were several of those.
I forgot the name of the
Red Cross, but they had three or four ambulances working their way through Lower Manhattan.
My girlfriend was here, and her husband joined us soon after. I got sick in the bathroom. I really was very lucky. I had 15 or 20 minutes of real worry. Then I got your email that you were on the way down, and then he sent an email saying we're out. But then the building, then Tower 2 collapsed. I mean, he's out. Who knew where he was? And I don't really understand the scope or scale of where things have fallen. It was another 15 or 20 minutes, I guess, before I knew that he was far enough away that he was not affected. Our children, who were away at school, my son was away at college. I was very impressed at how quickly he goes to a small college in Maine called Colby. The dean called him. They apparently immediately researched who was from New York, who had a parent, working in the World Trade Center. The dean called him and said, "Have you heard from anyone? If you need anything, if you need to get home, you can count on us." So I was very impressed by that. But anyway, by that time, we knew he was okay, and your London office called.
30?
No, it's now about probably closer to 11 o'clock. I remember being in the internet cafe and somebody said, the other tower just went down. Mm-hmm. There was so much smoke and haze. I remember I was conscious of, again, the World Trade Center for every New Yorker is a point of reference. You look, you see, oh, it was on my uptown, down. I mean, we all used it. I remember seeing the antennas as I was walking up, so that's on my tower. And then the antennas weren't there, so, I mean, that's all I can assume that it went down. We got to this woman's apartment, and for the first time I saw the replay of the second plane coming into the building, which every network obviously had broadcast live, and it just dawned on me, it's like, you gotta be kidding me, this isn't, what's going on, who's doing this? At this time, we heard they're shut down all the bridges, there's no way to leave Manhattan. We're now in this woman's apartment. All her former boyfriends are showing up from all over Manhattan. It's like a crazy situation. The doorbell keeps ringing, and boyfriend from 4 years ago. It's kind of a humorous situation. But there were probably 30 of us just, sitting on the floor watching TV, just not knowing, figuring, not really worrying. I mean, we're out, so we've already spoken, so we're, everything's okay. And then, I don't know, somebody called or told us that the New Haven trains are working. So at about 11 o'clock, maybe 11:30, and all the bridges to New Jersey were out. So I said to there's like three or four guys from New Jersey. I said, guys, come home with me, and I'll give you my car. You'll drive home. So we hoofed it from 22nd Street up to Grand Central Station. Again, bumper to bumper people, everybody walking in different directions, the awe of what was going on. I would assume every single business ended the day at 10 o'clock because everybody was on the street.